Christian. We're here with Ike Reeder with Birmingham Theological Seminary. Thanks for everybody for joining us. Why don't you just start with telling us a little bit about yourself and your role there at BTS?
Absolutely. My name is Ike Reeder. I know some of you for sure. It's good to be on here with some of you again. And we're grateful for Trinity Prez and y'all's support over the years. I'm sometimes better known as Harry's son. So, you know, just in case anyone was on here that was wondering, that name sounds familiar. We've heard from Harry Reeder before. So the way we like to phrase it here at Briarwood at BTS is I have my paid job description and my unpaid job description. And the paid one's BTS and the unpaid one is Harry's son. So I sat in his office for 30 minutes to helping him get Audible installed on his phone yesterday. And they're like, that's not part of your paid job. No, it's not. That's the unpaid job. So no, I'm grateful to serve with my dad at Briarwood in this context. And so it's a lot of fun. I come out of a background of working in higher education. I was I'm a Covenant College grad, grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was a high school English teacher and college professor for 14 years. And my first graduate degree was in literature. And a phrase that I'm sure many of you have heard these days, I was actually a professional critical theorist. So if anyone wants to ask questions on all that stuff, I'd be happy to answer. That was back when it wasn't cool to be a critical theorist, when it was a pain in the neck to be a critical theorist. But in 2008, I was on my way to do a PhD, and then when the recession hit, I got knocked out of the program because my grant program was frozen. So I ended up out in the business world for 4 or 5 years, and then back ended into ministry and fundraising, with one of our other organizations at Briarwood, Young Business Leaders. And that led me back to work at Covenant College, as part of their development team as the National Director of Church Relations. And in the meantime, did a seminary degree myself from RTS, a Master of Arts in Theological Studies. And so the opportunity at BTS came open 5 years ago, and with no thought that I would ever actually get the job, I applied, and the Lord blessed in that context with allowing me to become the president of Birmingham Theological Seminaries 5 years ago. Just a wonderful opportunity. Had 4 years to serve with Dr. Frank Barker before he passed away last year. Or the year prior to that, but on December 29th of that year. And one of the great blessings was the first 3 years pre-COVID. Dr. Barker and I got to pray every Monday morning for the health and the growth of the seminary. And the Lord's blessed that over the last 5 years. When I came on board, we had about 100 students or so, and we're now over 400 students. We had already launched the prison initiative, the 2 years prior to my joining. Or about a year prior to my joining the seminary, but that has grown tremendously, as well as with our Jumpstart partner that works with guys that are actually coming out of prison. And we have a number of very exciting things that are going on with the prison initiative that obviously I look forward to sharing with you. But the seminary as a whole, we've invested in distance education with live faculty through these kinds of means that we have right here. So we now have students literally around the world that are taking live classes with real world professors, sort of targeting one of our goals, which is working to push what we phrase as academic discipleship. The seminary has a very particular role in providing academic education, but a seminary is part of an academy. It's not the actual church, and so our job is to push academic discipleship into the hands of the local church. So they get real classes, all the benefits of a traditional residential seminary model, but they get to do it in the context of ministry in the local church, where the sessions and the leaders of the local church can provide ministerial discipleship. And so instead of going off to do something, it works more like a hand in glove model, where young men in particular are being trained, and older men. One of the great aspects of this model is we have a number of second career calling students who are in their 30s or 40s or even their 50s are feeling like, man, God has really put a call on my heart to ministry. And now I can get the education I need in order to do it. So it's a lot of really exciting things. And the work at the prison really is an extension of that, because we don't just send down videos. We send real faculty that go into the prison and teach every week, three times a week, mentors going out twice a week, working with both the BTS and the Jumpstart students. So that's the model that we operate on. So it's been very exciting to spearhead that over the last 5 years, and I hope for many more years until the Lord tarries.
Well, so you brought it up. Tell us a little bit more, expand on the Bibb County relationship y'all have and how that looks and how it's working.
Absolutely. So some of you, if you obviously, you live in Montgomery, so I imagine you follow politics to a certain degree or another, living in the hotbed of it, will probably be familiar with our previous commissioner of the Department of Corrections, Jeff Dunn, who was a member over at Eastwood. He's now at Briarwood. He and his wife Susan now live in Birmingham, and he's actually now serving on our board at BTS. But Jeff was the commissioner for 7 years, for 7 years of the Department of Corrections, and obviously as a believer, as a PCA ruling elder, one of the things that he believed is that, you know, permanent change in the lives of these inmates and these men who have committed horrendous crimes, and many of whom are, also in as a product of the system and any number of issues that go into criminal behavior and activity. But that, they could throw as many programs at these guys as they want to from a state perspective. But at the end of the day, real life change only happens, when the gospel gets a hold of somebody's heart and they experience, the transforming regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure most of you have been involved in some kind of prison work. So, I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know in terms of the premise behind this, but, at the end of the day, you can send as many people inside the prison as you want, but inmates generally listen to inmates. That's who they prioritize, who they listen to. There's always a barrier between an outside worker coming in, versus a life on life with inmate to inmate discipleship. And the barrier is that there's always, everything that these men do is being graded. It goes into your jacket. Does this give me early release? Does this, I have to present myself in a certain way to those that come from the outside. So, Jeff decided that the best way that they were going to ever experience effective, lasting change in the prison system is if prisoners themselves were trained to be basically missionaries, disciplers, and counselors for the other men that are inside the prison. But the only way that you could do that with long-term effectiveness was to put them in the same programs that we expect from those that are coming toward for ordination. Or for lay oriented ministry in our denomination, which as we know has some of the most stringent ordination requirements of any denomination out there. So he looked around and he saw BTS and he'd been familiar with BTS and he said, presented that as a plan to my predecessor and said, can we get an actual full degree program into Bibb County? Because it's the closest one that would allow us to do it from Birmingham. Can we get an actual program? Can you get your professors, the same guys that are training men that are going towards ordination in the denomination, can you get them out there to teach classes? Can we put them in a 2-year Masters of Biblical Studies program and give them a solid biblical, theological, systematic, historic, and applied background so that we can put the men that are not getting out of prison, the men that are in the BTS program, BTS is not an anti-recidivism program, at its root, because the men that are in our program all have, 80% of them are in for life. They're in for some of the most heinous crimes you could imagine. But they've made a profession of faith. The Lord has got a hold of their lives. So doing our program doesn't get them any benefit. It doesn't help them get out earlier. It doesn't put them in a nicer. As a matter of fact, it puts them in worse dorms. And actually, when they finish it, they actually go to be those missionaries. They go to be the disciplers. They go to preach in the yard on the side of the yard where somebody might walk up behind you and put a knife in your back. You know, they know that when they're committing to the program. And so for the last 6 years, we've been running our Masters of Biblical Studies program at Bibb County on 2 year cohort cycles. Now we got kind of jammed up because of COVID, obviously. We couldn't get out there as efficiently as we wanted to, but we've now graduated, over 30 students. And we are actually, Dr. James is actually on the road today recruiting new cohort members from 7 prisons around the state. They're on a 7 prison circuit today driving around, recruiting new cohort members. We hope to have, we've already got 8 signed up for next fall. We hope to add another 8 to 10. So we have somewhere between 15 and 20 students for this coming fall to launch the new cohort. And then they, after they graduate from their program, get to do 3 things. There's 3 things they get to do as a result of the program. Number one, we partner with a ministry that is, they've actually just changed the name and I can't remember the new name. It literally was announced yesterday, but it was Jumpstart. That is our partner program that works to combat anti-recidivism. So that program's designed for men that have 3 to 5 years left on their sentence. And it's a 1-year discipleship program, and it's run entirely by inmates. BTS graduates run the program. So that's number one. That's the first thing they do as they graduate, is they actually run the Jumpstart program. So there are other faith-based programs in the prison system, but this is the only one that is actually run by inmates. So they designed it, they built it, they run it. And right now we're at about a 70% rate for when the guys come out. They spend a year at Brent Presbyterian Church in Brent, Alabama, right there at Bibb. And right now we've had 4 years of guys getting out. I think it's been 7 guys and I think 2, have gone back in, but 5 are still out. Now that sounds like, oh my goodness, you know, 2 got back in. Well, the national rate is that within 3 years, 92% will go back into prison. So we're at 70% don't go back into prison. So we're beating that by a healthy margin already. So the BTS guys run that program, number one. Number two, they can be sent out to other prisons to work with chaplains as chaplain assistants. Now the first cohort, we just sent everyone out. And what we learned is that if we don't have a sympathetic chaplain, they will literally be destroyed. And so we've made the decision now. We only send them out when we have a sympathetic chaplain that is an evangelical chaplain, Bible believing, who is working to affect change. So 4 to 6 generally get sent out to other prisons to be chaplain's assistants, counselors and disciplers in other prisons. And then the newest thing that we've just announced this January, February, that we are incredibly excited about, is we are now in formal partnership with Ligonier Ministries. And so bear with me for just a moment while I describe this, because it's important to know what the setup looks like so you can understand the context of this ministry. So the way that the dorms are structured at Bibb is that it's like a diamond, and the front end of the diamond is the entryway, and the middle of the diamond is the observation chamber for the guards, and then there are 3 bays on the other 3 corners of the diamond. Each one of those bays houses 115 men in an open bay. So bunk beds all across the room, and there's 2 classrooms at the back end of each bay. Currently, BTS and Jumpstart have ownership of 2 bays in F dorm. It's the faith dorm. We call it F dorm. F dorm is the faith dorm. We have 2 bays. So we are currently, BTS is working with around 20 graduate students. And then those 20 graduate students are 10 in each room right now, where they monitor 115 guys in each room that are in the Jumpstart program. Those 2 bays have now gone 6 years without a single citation, which is, I mean, it's the only 2 bays in the entire prison system of the state of Alabama. No phones, no drugs, no sex, no pornography, nothing. 6 years. 2 bays, 6 years. We've just been given the third bay to run as a, not as another Jumpstart bay, but in partnership with us, we have just been given the third bay to run as a Ligonier Ministries bay. So Ligonier Ministries will now take ownership of that bay. And everyone's like, oh, that's awesome. You get Ligonier in there and everything else. It is. And they'll be doing a Ligonier year-long Ligonier theology curriculum, which is fantastic. The problem is, how many inmates do you know that can administer, facilitate, and teach a Ligonier theology curriculum, a Reformed theology accurately, biblically, and do so in a way that actually, you know, benefits the men that are in the room? Not many. Guess what helps? A degree from BTS. So now four of them will be running the Ligonier Bay. And so the Ligonier Bay literally cannot run without our graduates. They would have to pay, they would have to add probably like $100,000 line item to their budget to move someone up here to be almost like an auxiliary chaplain to come in and do it, which is what they do in other cities. So what they're excited about is they get to do this basically at just the cost of materials to them, and they get to access, they get to use the BTS graduates to go in and teach this group. And then these guys, after a year, get cycled back into another bay where they then start to witness, and it's a jump-started training mechanism so they can continue to reach other men at Bibb County. And then we'll pull in another group from outside of Bibb County that will then come into the Ligonier Bay. They'll do the learning, then they'll cycle into the Jumpstart Bay, and then some of them will then go out of the prison system, or they'll be cycled into other dorms where they start to then infiltrate all the dorms at Bibb County, having been 2 years of theological training, of mentoring, of living a disciplined life, of going 2 years without a citation, you know, and bring that influence into the other bays. So that's sort of the scope of what we're doing right now. And it all centers on training for the men to be, missionaries, disciplers, and counselors for the prison system of Alabama. We're considering that a mission field. It's a mission field. It's the same thing we would do to train any missionary to go to, you know, the heart of Africa or to China or to whatever. We wouldn't send anyone over there without giving them this kind of training, right? So why would we not do the same for the men that are reaching the prisoners, in the prison system of Alabama?
That's outstanding. I assume that you have to have a warden who's open to all that as well.
We do. Yes. Well, you know, we are one of the recognized program partners of the Department of Corrections. So the good news is that for our program at Bibb, a warden can't stop us. They can make your life miserable though. I am so grateful for God's provision, because for the first 3 years of my tenure, that's what we had at Bibb. The only reason that we kept going was because we knew if we needed it, we had a, pardon the pun, we had a trump card in our pocket, which was that, we were there expressly by the wishes of the commissioner of the Department of Corrections with Commissioner Dunn. Obviously he resigned as part of the, you know, it was a political resignation because of the lawsuits that were going on and everything else. If you follow the prison system at all, you know, it has just gone back down the tube since Commissioner Dunn resigned. He, you know, praise the Lord, he doesn't say a bad word, but if you get him talking, he'll point out things that are happening. He knows what's going on. So 2 years ago, one of Commissioner Dunn's final sort of moves as commissioner was he transferred, Warden Gordy to Bibb. Warden Gordy's a member of a church in Demopolis, and his pastor is actually a BTS graduate. And so, he has a great love for us, and he recognizes, you know, and again, you know, it's all the internal politics in a prison system. It's the power dynamics and the struggles. You would think that guards would love us because we're the easy post. Nobody's doing anything. they're literally sitting in small groups reading the Bible and praying together. And, you know, hey, can we go to class? We'd like to learn more, you know, sort of thing, you know, and they're doing more than that. They're working on their, especially the Jumpstart guys. I mean, our BTS graduates are actually, they're hosting GED classes. They're helping guys get their high school diplomas. You know, they're helping schedule guys to get their HVAC certifications, their plumbing certifications, their electrical certifications, so they can get a job when they get out. I mean, we could run through all the statistics, but you know, if you have a high school diploma, you immediately jump into the 50-50 chance of going back in prison. If you got a college degree, there's only a 25% that you'll go back into prison. If you have anything higher, there's only a 5% chance you'll go back into prison. So they're working with these guys. We actually have four of our BTS students that graduated in the last 4-5 years are actually now in our doctoral program doing their Doctor of Ministry degrees. And we have faculty that drive out once a month for, you know, 2 to 3 hour, you know, tutorial learning sessions with them. I mean, they're publishing. We've got a, you know, speaking of our Ligonier partnership, we've got a proposal on the table with Ligonier right now. And we're trying to figure out how to make it work, where they allow us to do an entire month of table talk that'll be entirely written by inmates. We call it Theology Behind Bars. I mean, just think, be amazing if we had made a decision that we wouldn't read anything that was written from prison. We'd lose about 60% of our New Testament, wouldn't we?
Great point.
Yes.
So yeah, and that's a snap. That literally is just a snapshot of what's going on. So I hope that, and we've got, we are working, and I want to apologize for this. One of my goals this year is to make sure we're getting a more, you know, monthly or bi-monthly communication out to our church partners and donors that's actually written by the inmates. So obviously the big problem is always just kind of the problem of what are we allowed to take in and take out, you know, written by inmates and whatnot. So we're working on that. I mean, I can write this stuff every month all day long and it's exciting, but what's more exciting is when you get to read works by guys like Stephen Parker, who used to be the head of the Alabama Aryan Nation, who is now his bunk mate and best friend is an African American guy, Cornell Nobles, you know, and he's writing pieces like, you know, what is the incarnation? What does the incarnation have to do with my incarceration? Or guys that are in there writing about, you know, I mean, just think about it for a second. You know, I mean, it's a, you know, how often we hear preach these wonderful messages and the truths of what we receive when we come to new life in Christ, right? We receive a new heart. We receive a new life. We receive a new record. We receive a new family. We receive a new home. And for most of us, it's an abstraction because we like our family and we like our home, you know, but imagine what that means for an inmate when he says, you know, you have been, I mean, and we also know, you know, somewhere around 70% of the inmates in Alabama, don't have an identified father, you know, or a family structure or unit. So imagine what happens when they hear the truth of you receive a new family, that you are, you know, adopted into the family of God. And, you know, it's just amazing when you hear them talk about it because the reality of it for them is so strong. And it's something that we all can learn from, you know, in that sense. So we're working to get that stuff out to our partners so they can hopefully benefit from their learning as well.
That's fantastic. Anybody around the table have any questions?
Yeah, just a question on this Ligonier dorm a little bit more. I'm Tom Danielson. I was with you a year ago when the graduation. And
yes.
Those two dorms, the Ligonier dorm now, as I understand, is between those two, in that same pod or whatever. But just, so there's 4 or 6 guys in the Ligonier program that are in there, but the rest of that dorm, they're just regular prisoners. Is that right? But
No, sir. The 115 guys are in the Ligonier 1-year program. The 4 guys are the BTS graduates that are teaching the program.
Okay.
So, So all the men that are in the dorm are coming in to be a part of the Ligonier program, but okay. Ligonier has to have, like, so Ligonier can send out as much material to every prison in the country that they want to, right? But they don't, number one, they don't know what's happening with it unless there's somebody in there that's actively using it and can communicate with them. And then number two, you know, as much as, you know, we believe that the truths of, Reformed theology stand on their own two feet, which they do, you know, these men are, you know, it is just, they're one of the greatest lessons that we learned in our first cohort is how much we, not just how much we have to teach these men, but how much we have to unteach, that they have learned, how much bad theology, cult-like theology, you know, that they have, that comes from them just getting involved in cults and groups and, you know, whatever protection racket they've been in, right? And so the, you know, you can send out, but it just gets layered on top of bad theology when it's just 115 guys each getting a book on, you know, from R.C. Sproul or a set of pamphlets that are teaching basics of Reformed theology. So Ligonier needs what they sort of require is they either have to have a chaplain that is Reformed who is concentrated teaching their curriculum internally to whatever prisoners are signed up for it, or they have to have a ministry partner that will facilitate and teach the program internally. So that's what I was mentioning earlier. Either they would have to, you know, add a huge line item to their budget to move somebody up here to run the program for those 115 guys, or they get to say, BTS, would you like to partner with us? Because you have graduates who are trained in Reformed theology, who are trained to be teachers and disciplers. And then so we're taking their Ligonier program, putting it in this group of 115 guys, teaching that year-long program for them. And then when those 115 guys are done, they will then cycle up into the standard Jumpstart dorm as we cycle guys out of the Jumpstart dorm. And the goal, honestly, Tom, the goal is if this works the way we hope it will, you know, when you're sending 75 guys out from each Jumpstart dorm, you can send 75 into two more dorms and two other bays and another dorm. And all of a sudden you just put 150 guys in that dorm that are now living for Jesus, and they're going to start discipling and evangelizing. The hope is that within 5 years, it would end up with eight more transformed bays at Bibb County with, you know, Christians living in those bays and those dorms. So does that make sense? Does I explain that well?
Yeah, that does. And the only reason for the question is I remembered meeting the two guys who had come, Christian prisoners who had come from South Carolina, mm-hmm. and moved in.
Yeah.
And they literally took turns, one sleeping, one staying awake just to watch each other back.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So that's great. I mean, it's a tremendous story.
Yeah. Well, one of those guys, Red, that's one of the guys that has now started his doctoral program with us. So, and it's important to know that I'm glad you brought Red up, Tom, because Red's just an unbelievable story. The commitment level that these men have, if Red had stayed in South Carolina, he would have gotten out of prison, you know, 7 to 10 years early. And when he moved across state line, you let go of the right for early release or parole. You have to serve your entire sentence. So he added probably 10 years to his sentence to come here and run this program and help us run this program.
Mm. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's how committed he was.
How big is the correctional facility?
It is, let's see, there are 350, there are about 350 men per dorm, and there is, I think it's 9 dorms. So, they don't pay me for the maths, at BTS. So 3,500, but the actual bays were not designed to house 115 men. They were only designed to house 75. So it is at 200% capacity based on what it was originally designed to hold and maintain.
Circling back. the problem with the Department of Corrections in Alabama, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's a, yeah, we don't have to get into the prison politics talk, but, you know, well, give us more money and we'll try to fix this. Well, we're not going to give you more money because we don't want it. But I mean, yeah, these guards, the guards make $28,000 a year. Mm. I mean, that is not enough money to get stabbed in the back for, you know, in an environment like that. It is a, I don't know what the solutions are. I know that the only solution that we, I don't have any political solutions, but we do have biblical solutions. So, you know, to see, I mean, it makes sense. Like these guys, they don't live in comfort. They don't have the creature comforts. I mean, they're sleeping in, you know, beds with a 1-inch plastic mattress. You know what I mean? And they've got to get up at the roll calls. They've got to be, they got to do everything else. But you walk in and listen, we host a worship service every Friday for Christ Behind the Walls, which is a church plant. Which is a formal PCA church plant at Bibb County. That's another thing that's happened through the result of this work is the guys, after learning good theology, decided, well, we can't attend a lot of these other churches that are hosting services here because they're theologically unsound. And I'm not talking like they don't believe in Calvinism. I'm talking like they believe in universalism or they believe in, prosperity gospel and, you know, those kinds of things. So about 3 years ago, they decided, well, we don't have the space to do it. So we're just going to hold a church service in our dorm on Friday mornings. So we now hold a Friday morning worship service. Thankfully it's now been moved back to the chapel so we have over 250 men attending every Friday. And then Sunday nights, they get together and watch. We can't live stream inside Bibb, but we get together and they record. They watch the previous week's recording of Briarwood's worship service with Dr. Reeder. So, and there's generally about 85 to 100 men that gather around to watch that.
It's amazing.
I mean, they stand up and sing the hymns with them and everything. Like, it's not just like put on Harry's sermon. Like, they're pulling out their hymn books and singing right along.
That's great.
I'm Bubba Phillips. Carolyn is my daughter.
Oh, yeah, of course, Mr. Phillips. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Her, not me, but does the state recognize that you're making such a difference in the lives of these people that they're not coming back in, which is what the goal is, I think, is to get them out permanently?
Well, that's a fantastic question, Mr. Phillips. And the answer to that is, no. And the reason why is because we don't take any money from the state. And so the state generally funds a number. So when you start doing this process, one of the things that you learn is that the state wants to give you money for this stuff. But the minute the state gives you money for this stuff, the minute you've obviously got a whole nother set of restrictions and requirements that you have to abide by. Number one. And then number two, the more money the state gives you for it, the more money the state gets. So, hey, we got a program with 200 people in it. So we're going to apply to the federal government or to the legislature for more money. And, so if you don't take any money from the state, you can't make any money for the system. And, the different compartments of the Department of Corrections are extremely partitioned. And in some senses, you can see why, because they don't want good old boy politics. I mean, that originally it was so good old boy politics. Well, but even while Commissioner Dunn was in office, he could not. We could have 15 to 20 guys out living at Bibb County, at Brent Presbyterian Church. They're eligible. And I'm not talking just parole. I'm talking like work releases and any number of different mechanisms that they could be out. At Jumpstart, you know, living their lives. I mean, moving forward. And the state refuses to release, Jumpstart members right now. And it's mind boggling. We have no idea why. But then you'll turn the paper on and you'll read, 15 parolees released and, you know, 7 caught in recent crime, you know, or something like that. And you're like, what are you sending them out there for? And when you get into those, like the halfway house in Montgomery, I mean, it is just a hotbed of drug activity and addiction. And it's, you know, there's plenty of churches that go down and try to work in that community, but you're fighting against an overwhelming avalanche of sin and everything else. And so that's a big prayer request for us, Mr. Phillips, is that the paroles and pardons board, Cam, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Cam something. Cam, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. That they would recognize the benefit and the value that Jumpstart brings to this process and the win. It's a win for the Department of Commissions, but it's only a win on paper. It's not a win where it matters, which is in their pocketbook.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yep.
Ooh. Anybody else have any questions?
And by the way, that's the non-political mild version. There's nobody you would ask that wouldn't give you a similar answer. That is actually a nonpartisan answer to that question, in case anyone was wondering.
Say it.
It is sad. Well, I think we can go to a time of prayer. Is there anything? I know you sent us some prayer requests. Is there anything specifically that you would like us to pray for this morning?
Well, the big prayer request is to pray for Dr. James's trip today. He and the program director for Jumpstart, Chris Taunton. The two of them are going around with Tom Woodfin, who is the commissioner of chaplains, for the Department of Corrections. So the three of them are going around today doing their recruiting visits. So obviously we pray. We at least have, Mr. Phillips, to go back a little bit to your question. We at least have enough recognition that they've given us permission that if we find, you know, recruitable candidates, that they will transfer them to BIB for us. So the goal is that they transfer in. This would be the big prayer request, I guess, Julie. The goal is that we would find some great candidates, and then that they would transfer in efficiently and in a timely fashion. We want to get them in by the beginning of June. And the reason why is because, especially for the BTS students, we do an entire 3-month remedial writing program for them, because obviously we have non-traditional students in this program. So, I mean, they have to do all the work that a graduate student has to do. So they've got to be able to write the papers, do the research, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a big prayer request, is for all of those elements. And then our other big institutional prayer request, and I think I mentioned this briefly, but we have for the last, however long we've been using software, BTS has basically sort of piecemealed together all of our software. So we use, you know, Trello for admissions and GradPro for student services and Kindful for donor management. And, but obviously that there's like 8 different software packages we have to use. And that makes for a lot of redundant tasks for our operations team. And, it's like when a church gets on Shelby, they get really excited because it does everything you want it to do, you know, or something like that, right? So we're actually transitioning. The Lord has blessed us. Unless you don't like Shelby, then it's
Shelby, so bad example.
What it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We have one that's going to do what it's supposed to do because it's got over, you know, we've talked to plenty of schools that do it. So we're actually transitioning this year to Blackbaud, Education Solutions, which is anybody that's been in education would be familiar. Not Blackboard, but Blackbaud. It's one of the three largest. And, they came back to us with an incredibly generous package, that is guaranteed for the life of our contract. And it's just been unbelievable. The VP of sales is a member of a Reformed Baptist church in Nashville. And, after our first two meetings, when he heard what we were doing, he said, we're going to make this work for you guys. So it's the equivalent in cost of what our current all together are, but now we're going to have an entire, from the moment somebody clicks a button on the website all the way to their alumni status, to donors, to scholarship portals, everything is fully integrated, and we're in a year-long transfer process because obviously every widget has to be done separately because it's just too much to do at once, even though we're a relatively small school compared to what they handle, colleges and universities and that kind of thing. but it's going to be a big, long process. So just pray for the team. It's a whole nother level of added responsibility. They all know the light at the end of the tunnel is that it's going to save us massive amounts of time and energy, but that's hard to remember when you're in the middle of June compiling spreadsheets so they can transfer all the data over appropriately, you know? So that's just going to be a big project that's going to be weighing on us for the entire year. So really would appreciate prayers for the team. And just let me say this one last thing is that, please, you know, we serve the local church in every capacity. That is it is the very end of our mission statement, that we provide a faithful and accessible graduate level theological education to build leaders to serve the local church. So, you know, this whole thing is done so that we can serve the body of Christ. So, whether it's myself, whether it's Dr. James, whether it's Commissioner Dunn, you know, anytime that we can be a benefit to your church community with testimony, please don't hesitate to ask us. That goes to the top of the priority list as we can communicate and encourage the local church so they can see what God is doing with their stewarded resources. So please, anytime, we will make the trip. And we're really excited. We've got three new students from Trinity that just joined James Williams Evangelism class and that are now working on a learning certificate of missions and evangelism, which we offer to churches as a four-course certificate to grow in their understanding of God's word and missions and evangelism. So, you know, there's just a lot of things, and we just want to continue to build the connective tissue with Trinity any way that we can.
And that kind of begs a question, I guess, comparing the BIB, the number of people in the BIB program with your more traditional classes in different churches and scattered around the state and other places. How many students are you having that other, the more traditional program that you've done for a long time?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I came on board, we had just over 100, about 110. That was 5 years ago. Last year, our total student count was 347. And this year we are well on pace to clear 400 students. Just to go to BTS as a seminary serving the way that seminaries do, we have processed just in the last 3 months, maybe 12 transfers from RTS, Southern Evangelical, Westminster. You know, we've got students that are looking at this going, it's real professors. Like, this is not crowdsourced from the internet. Like, these are qualified, you know, 89% of our faculty have doctoral degrees. It's not, you know, we have a 98% pass rate for ordination in the PCA, which is better than some of our compatriot seminaries, you know? And that's within the context of being a multi-denominational Reformed seminary where over 30% of our student body is non-Caucasian. 30% of our faculty is non-Caucasian. It really is a picture of the incredible work that the gospel does to build bridges past cultural, denominational, and ethnic barriers.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. We can go to a time of prayer, if that's okay with you, Bubba.
Yes, ma'am.
Star, Tom, you'll close it. Sure. Anybody who'd like to join in between, great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time with I and just hearing what's going on. It's amazing how the Lord has used this to work through BTS over the years, and thinking back when Frank started it and now the outreach it has all over the world. So we just praise you and thank you for that. I thank you for Ike's heart and his passion and involvement in it. And Lord, the many things that are going on, but Lord, we want to pray for Thad as he travels, Lord, that you would make these contacts very beneficial and help grow the ministry, Lord. And I just think the impact it's making within the prisons, Lord, people coming to the Lord and then growing and becoming pastors. But yet, Lord, those that are able to go and not come back in again. So it's really making such a huge impact. So I pray that other people would realize that, even the state here in Alabama would realize that.
Amen.
We all know that Christ is the answer for everything, but particularly in the prison, as we see all these young people that are going astray. So we just lift this ministry up and pray that you'll continue to bless it. And Lord, use Ike and Thad and the whole staff to make such an impact there. So I do lift up our own evangelism training here with James. I pray that that will continue to go, that we would see more people join it and be involved in that. So what our heart and passion is to see the kingdom come, and Lord, that we would be a part of that until you return. So we just praise you and thank you for this time. In Christ's name I pray.
Father, I want to just very quickly, Lord, I want to express my gratitude and thankfulness for just all the churches that support the work of BTS, but I'm so grateful for Trinity and the many friendships that you've given us there. Father, I pray that Trinity will be well rewarded for their faithfulness of stewarding the resources that you have given them. Thank you for their diligence and their desire to see these resources be used for gospel ministry. And Lord, I pray that you will bless the missions committee in their work. Lord, it's not work when it's fun, as they say. And so, Lord, give us such joy at hearing the testimonies of your faithfulness to your word. We know that they will not hear unless they have the word preached to them. And so, Father, we pray that the word will go forth through faithful gospel teaching from BTS graduates and students throughout Bibb County Correctional Facility. And we pray that Jumpstart will grow in its ability to help men lead lives of changed work by the power of the gospel. Lord, how much must we show that that we truly believe that the gospel has the power to change lives? What better place to see the power of grace, the power of the mercies of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives than see these men who have lived lives of such sin and desperation, to see them live lives that are now devoted to the glory of God the Father. So, Lord, thank you for Trinity and their support in this work. And I pray that they will be, again, richly rewarded in faith for their faithfulness to the gospel and to their call to be stewards. We praise the Lord for them.
Lord, we just come to you this morning and thank you so much for BTS and Ike and their work, Lord, not only within the prison system, but in training and discipling men to become leaders in your church, Lord. We just ask as they look forward to this year of transition that the software update will go smoothly, Lord. There's so much that can go wrong with the technology, but we know that you are the creator of all and that you can watch over that and help the kinks to work out and just to use that to enable them to do their work more efficiently, Lord. We ask that you be with Thad today and his group that is going to visit. We pray that you will form relationships with these people that they're meeting with, open hearts and minds, so they can spread the word even further to different prisons, Lord. We just thank you for this time together. In Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time as well, and the ways in which you have grown Birmingham Seminary in the in a traditional program, and then more recently with this effort at Bibb, and just thank you for that. We can only praise you for the way you are at work by the power of your Spirit in the lives of men to truly change hearts, to bring men together in the gospel, and men who would never have even talked with one another, men who would have killed one another. And yet now there is unity in the gospel, and we praise you for that, just the picture that that is. I pray for these partnerships with the church that's close by there, Bibb, with Ligonier and other ministries and organizations. I pray for this Jumpstart effort and the rename now, but that you would continue to use that, that you would draw people to it, that would want to be a part of it and supporting it, encouraging it, that would help these men who are seeking a new life now that they've been transformed by the gospel, that there would be open doors for them to step back into the world and be citizens that bear witness to change lives. Lord, we give you praise for the many things you are doing in this way, and ask that you would continue to do it. Help each of us to serve you well in the day ahead as well. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.
Amen.